Podtacular episode 127, the BioShock special for the week of September 3rd, 2007.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
I'm Immortal 3.
And I am Mince.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome, welcome. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Let's start with Immortal. Tell us a little bit about what you do in the Podtacular community and in the greater gaming community, man.
Well, just a regular Podtacular member, pretty much. Been an all-star, but not really doing much with that right now because, of course, Halo 3 is coming along soon. And I run the Podtacular MySpace. Not doing much there right now, but should kick up soon.
Cool.
That's pretty much it for the Podtacular community. Represent.
You.
Word. To your mama.
Word up.
All right, so we also have Mince here, and tell us a little bit about what you do, Mince.
Well, I run a website called Halo Portable. It's kind of a small niche thing for portable stuff that has Halo. I'm a halo.bungie.org freak, and also part of the hushcasket.com community. It's a local gaming group here in Huntsville, Alabama, that throws enormous, extremely infamous LAN parties. And
wow,
our latest
nice.
Was in July. And it was huge, had about 20-something people, HDTVs, Halo 1, because you just don't land Halo 2 when it's Xbox Live. And, yeah, pretty cool community. You should check it out.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm here stuttering. What website can we find them?
The website is
Max Henry, man.
Nice, I know, right?
it's hushedcasket.com. It's HUSHED caskets.com. Just sign up, and if you live anywhere near the Huntsville, Alabama area, it's something you should get in on.
Awesome.
How often do they have events?
Well, it's kind of spread out. We're, our next big one's going to be on October 6th, which will be a monster Halo 3 LAN. Plan on having just lots of HDTVs and Xbox 360s. And we're going to start doing some more LANs throughout the months and year so that we can, you know, have more LANs. And it'll be with bring your own stuff kind of deals, so that you bring your own monitor, your own 360, your own controller, set yourself up in a corner, and plug right in and go, so you don't have to worry about equipment and if there's enough people, and that should just make it easier to land.
Cool. See, yeah. Those things are never easy, so.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it always helps for people to contribute with equipment and stuff.
Definitely. Well, this is the BioShock show, and we're going to be talking about one of the best games in a long time. I'm sure we all agree. Mm-hmm. This is just such an amazing game, and you know, I know I've been spending a whole lot of time on it and thoroughly enjoying it. It's one of those games that it doesn't necessarily need a multiplayer component. Just the single player is just so incredibly good that it's worth it just for that. So we're going to get into that and take a break from a little bit of Halo 3 stuff to jump back into it soon and definitely ramp up for the big launch in just a few short weeks here.
Yes, sorry, Bob.
In the meantime, we got BioShock, and let's start off on that. Why don't you start us off, Mince?
All right. Only UPS says, I just picked up my copy today at 9 a.m. at my local GameStop, crammed it into my 360, and immediately went, OMG! I have been waiting for this game for a long time, and it's absolutely amazing. The graphics are just stunning. Despite the occasional chug during big battles, the rare cutscenes, this game is on the money when it comes to graphics. So detailed. I find myself taking forever to get through just one room, because I'm always just looking at stuff and picking up smokes. I just love the atmosphere in this game, with the 50s music playing along with the carnage. It's just so cool. After a while, you kind of forget that you're underwater. The gameplay is also great. How many other games allow you to freaking rewrite your genetic code? I'm at the part where the big... I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
No, yeah, you probably shouldn't.
Spoilers. Okay. And I can't wait to keep playing.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So what do you think about the overall atmosphere of the game? I mean, obviously it takes a different direction where you look at old titles like Doom... Okay, Doom, well, better yet, Quake 4, where you had rock and roll in the background. With Bioshock, you have a classical soundtrack to go along with the old vintage look of the entire city, Rapture. So, I mean, how do you like that? I mean, do you prefer that type of art style? Do you find it different compared to everything else that's been out?
Well, quite frankly, I'm just glad it's not another Alien Planet or World War II setting.
Yeah, I was about to say
exactly.
That.
It's really great because, I mean, I don't think there's ever been another game where you're taking, you know, place in this huge underwater city of genetic experiments gone wrong, and that's supposed to be a utopia. I mean, that's just a lot of stuff that, singularly, I don't think's been done. And then they just take all those single elements, put it together, and there you are in this world that... It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Fumo? I mean, obviously we're so accustomed to, you know, Halo 2 and, you know, the world that it resides in. And I mean, I played the demo. I'm going to admit that I only finished the first level. But what I saw was very impressive with the water effects. The animation, the AI. I mean, it's become, to me, in my opinion, graphically the best game on the Xbox 360 so far, even surpassing Gears of War. I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, the graphics are truly amazing, but the thing is that it's kind of like summer blockbusters that the graphics are amazing on movies, and yet they have no substance, you know? It wouldn't really be anything without all of the backstory and the graphics actually fitting in very well to what the backstory actually kind of creates, kind of a canvas for it, you know? Because if you didn't have that, it would be more like just scraps of paper with beautiful paintings on them and stuff. It wouldn't quite be the same. So it's the way that it just really brings everything together so well. And what's cool about that is all of that really helps to draw you into the story and at the same, and in the process, give you a feeling of like immense control over what you're doing and how you do it, and also just making you feel like you're that character, and really along the way giving you this creepy, freaky, and I mean sometimes really terrifying sense of foreboding as you go. And it's just, it's so well done with the atmosphere, but then that also goes to push the story forward as you go along. So I mean it's a great story. And you know what that this game actually reminds me of it a lot is Doom 3. I really enjoyed Doom 3, which is kind of strange, I guess, because you know I'm a Christian and here I am playing this demonic game and everything, right? but I just thoroughly enjoyed that game, the way they did the storytelling with the recordings that were left that you had to pick up and play, and they had pretty good voice acting in that, and you know, it just kind of advanced the story as you went along, and they had different cutscenes and different actions as you went along. But with the tight quarters, that's the same kind of game style I like to play with Halo as well. But the way that it really, they made the extra effort to advance the story in a lot of different ways to make it not seem shallow, but really well beyond the initial concept of this underwater filled utopia. They really go into a lot of depth and a lot of backstory to make you think that, hey, this could really happen. It could really have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and Immortal, to go along with what UPS is saying about his first experience after booting up the game, what, as being the only person to actually finish the entire game, what was your reaction when you first booted up the BioShock for the very first time?
Oh, it was sweet. it's just like nice to have something different besides like what Mint said, like a World War II game or a, or a, like an alien shooter, I guess you could say. Like,
yeah.
Not to diss Halo or anything.
No, I mean, there's no secret that, you know, the first person genre has become, as far as variety, it's become kind of stagnant, and BioShock definitely brought something refreshing.
Right.
Yeah. I really like the art style and stuff. Like, I remember hearing an interview with one of the developers, I think. Like, they actually went to, like, the Rockefeller Center and, like, took pictures of, like, the pillars and architecture there, and then, like, actually, like, put that in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that was pretty... Yeah, and you can tell. I mean, there's a lot of detail there. And you look at... I mean, when I first played the game, and that cutscene in the beginning when you crash in the water, and I'm just sitting there because I'm expecting something else to happen as far as a cutscene, and it's the actual game, and I'm like, okay, what? Why is it just standing? And then I'm like, oh my god, this is the real game. And I mean, just the visuals and
did that first just part was like, I was stunned because like the water is so like beautiful, with, like fire and everything.
Yeah,
oh, it's sweet.
Well, speaking of water, let's see if Halo 3 can, you know, its water effects can beat BioShock.
Yeah, really. The bar has been raised.
Yep, exactly. In every way.
Might be kind of hard because, you know, BioShock is all about water.
Yeah.
Halo 3 is more about, you know, space and shooting guns.
Well, I mean, you know, Frankie went on about the water effects, so...
Well, that's Frankie. Oh, yeah.
If he goes out and kind of starts bragging about the water effects, it better be damn good.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move along. Willie SF, he says, BioShock brings a new aspect to the world of first-person shooters. The environment, going through the first couple of levels and using the environment, such as hacking water... You can hack water? Okay, anyway. Oil, etc. I know.
I hack water.
I hack water.
You hacker?
Lead hacksaw.
Lead hacksaw. You water modder. So he goes, I could tell that this really isn't a traditional shooter, but more of a strategic shooter. The lighting in this game makes the story more epic and exciting. You know, he's talking about lighting, and you mentioned Doom, which utilized a lot of, you know, cheap scares. I mean, that's how they call it, you know. You walk into an area that's really dark, you turn around, and all of a sudden there's a monster popping out the same spot you walked in.
Right.
And Condemned also used that type of environment where it was really dark and creepy, and you heard a lot of voices, you know, in the backgrounds. And it seemed, obviously, because Doom is one of the, you know, the more classic FPS franchises in gaming history. So, obviously, all games are going to try to emulate what the Doom series accomplished. But with BioShock, it kind of blended all of previous first-person shooters, what they did best, like Condemned. You know, it was, I mean, one of the scariest games I ever played, and so was Doom 3. So, I mean, I know Fumo Jive, you know, and I don't mean to make fun of your TV, but, you know.
What are you talking about, dude? I got the bomb set up, man.
My TV's the bomb diggity.
Dude, I got the most awesome 13-inch TV you've ever seen.
Yeah, and I've been to your house several times, and, I mean, it is high-tech.
Yeah, that's right. Walmart's I mean, special, man.
But playing in SD, I mean, how was it graphically with the lighting and everything? I mean, did it really matter whether you were... I mean, did you actually sit down and go, damn, I wish I had an HD TV? Or did it just blend in regardless of the fact that you haven't switched to HD yet?
Well, I guess I'm probably the only one here that can answer this. Because a lot of people that are big gamers got to have their HD TV. But, you know, for me,
absolutely.
Not necessarily. I can play just as well on a teeny tiny TV. And The thing is the closer you get to it, voila, the picture is huge. Of course, it's not very detailed in comparison to an HDTV. See, but the thing is,
pixels.
The only way I notice that is when you're playing like Command & Conquer 3 and you're looking at some of the very fine text like that you're kind of going, you know, what is that saying stuff? But on BioShock, I mean, I don't really notice that. I still see the very detailed texture because you can tell because the more you go closer to it, the more you can see the detail on. You can see that it's not, you know, blurred out in low res to save on memory and stuff. But it just looks fantastic. You know, it looks like a really great game, and it really got me into it. Both the gameplay, getting freaked out, the story, everything. I mean, it's great. But you know, going on what Willie SF says, actually, to bring back to that, is that he was talking about the environment. Immortal, what did you think about some of that kind of stuff, like with ice and water and oil and the darts and
hacking
some of the stuff?
And everything like that.
Graphically, or
I mean, like as an element of gameplay that hasn't really been, as far as I know, hasn't really been gone into at this depth.
Oh, it's. Wait, what was the question?
Like, what do you think of...
He's like, I'm sorry, I'm on Twitter.
I was going to say, like, using the environment be able to attack. Like, there's a couple different ways. You got kind of in combination with the plasmids, with telekinesis, being able to throw things. And you have, obviously, explosive stuff.
Fire.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
there's like ice, fire, like electricity, and there's like insects or something.
And no, like, but I'm talking about like the environment specifically, like the gasoline, the water, the ice, the stuff.
Oh, right, I get it now.
it's
like,
it's in the question. It's in the submission.
Now for the answer.
Yeah, there's like oil spills or like gas on the ground and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's just like the water and the electricity. Like if there's enemies standing in the gas, you just shoot the gas with fire and it lights all of them up.
Yeah.
But you can't be standing in the fire in the gas.
Obviously, yeah.
It's nice how like the puddles of water and oil don't feel forced. It's like, hey, it makes sense that's there because look at this busted pipe, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that sounds cliche, but you know, it looks like it fits. It never seems like that shouldn't be there. What's it doing there?
Mm-hmm. You know, the whole game feels like that though. All of the characters feel like they're actually doing something as they're walking along because this is the first one I've seen as a first person shooter that doesn't really use scripted fighting to where
the
characters don't come out at specific times, like DM3, for instance. You know, you could go through that again, but it's just a matter of going through the same game with different difficulty. But in this, it's going to be a different game every time because everybody in the game, all of the characters are actually walking around trying to get at him, trying to scrounge around and find stuff to keep themselves alive and not get killed. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, you take games like Deus Ex and System Shock. You know, BioShock reminds me of those titles, and obviously it borrows certain elements from both franchises. But like I said, I mean, it just took it up another level with the next gen system on the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. And you know, you mix in the AI, the elements such as, you know, when to you know, which atoms you want to use. Like there were moments where I could have gone through a door that was frozen, but I took away my fire starter power.
What a loser.
Incinerate.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh man, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean there's so much depth, and even though, I mean, we look at the graphics and it's obviously using the Unreal 3 engine. The same engine that Gears of War is utilizing by Epic. But you look at both titles, and one is a third person, one's a first, but they're both in closed environments, and you look at the difference between the two titles graphically, where Gears of War was the upper echelon in graphics, where everything was compared to, now it's BioShock. Now, obviously, it's a newer title. They had more time to tweak the Unreal Engine. But, you know, it's rare that you get a game that has everything mixed in so well. Right. And that's what makes BioShock so great.
Mm-hmm. Really good art direction.
Well, you're talking about the Unreal 3 engine. Isn't this one developer suing Epic?
Yes.
Because...
I believe
Silicon Studios, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
It's confusing to me. Obviously, because these guys have put out a gorgeous game, and, you know, I don't know what Dennis Dyke is smoking, but Unreal Engine 3 is working fine for other people, so he should be able to do something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about hard work.
Yeah, that's a whole other rabbit trail, because I think that actually had to do with timing of when they received certain portions of the Unreal 3 engine.
I believe that was for Too Human.
Too Human, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so moving along.
Yeah, well, on to Casey Smacker, who says, sorry to say this. Smacker. Okay, this is kind of interesting because it'll give us something to think about here. Sorry to say this, but this game sucks. Non-online single-player games are over, I think at least. There are a few that stand out, such as Oblivion, even the old KOTOR, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, are still good, but those games have good replay value. BioShock is very straightforward. Do this and do that. Good job. Beat the game. Who gives a rat's ass? Make a game where you choose your own path. Sure, it's good to play once until you beat it. I say rent it, beat it, forget about it. People making games need to remember replay value. Well, sorry for being so down. Besides, Halo 3 is almost here. Keep on fragging trucks. Podtacular Wreck E for life. For life.
Well, thank you, Casey Smacker, for that, but I gotta disagree with you there.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a need for single-player games, and I'm a hardcore multiplayer person, but even I get sick of going online and having to deal with individuals who, you know, don't agree with my standards of play.
12-year-old racist kids.
Yeah, I mean, even adults. I mean, you get some retarded adults out there.
Yeah.
But there. I mean, I will always stress this. There is the need for single-player titles because I'm 35 years old, and I grew up playing single-player. And you do get emotionally tied to a game, and that's why a story becomes so great. You don't have the distractions of co-op and having somebody talk in your ear and, you know, not doing exactly what the game is meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you're on your own. You have all these new elements at your disposal. You have beautiful graphics and a great story. And like Fumo said, you know, you have the audio recordings that, you know, as you're playing, they're giving you a side story to everything, explaining things. So... No, I have to disagree wholeheartedly with Casey Smacker. You know, multiplayer doesn't make everything. I mean, just look at Shadowrun. It's strictly multiplayer, and it's a good concept, but no story, you know, no purchase, you know, at least in my book.
Here's how I see it. I'm open to multiple viewpoints, and Casey Smacker's main argument seemed to be that there's no multiplayer... and that sucks because single-player games don't need to exist anymore, and that BioShock doesn't have much replayability. Well, I have to disagree on the replayability part, because anyone who's played the game knows that you can harvest or not harvest Little Sisters, and that gives you multiple endings.
Exactly.
And two, with Xbox Live and the ability to have private chats and send messages and stuff, even if you're in a single-player game, you're still connected to the community.
Exactly.
So it's not as single, solitary, alone as he says this is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you really want to go talk to somebody, you can just send a private chat. And
you're right there.
I mean, you're going to miss out on the story because there's a lot you have to listen to and concentrate.
I was private chatting a lot when I was playing it, and sometimes like I didn't get what my friend said because I tried to concentrate on... like what I was doing, or listening to my audio message or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
well, the audio message is more important than your friend anyway. So.
Oh yeah. Sure.
And Immortal, I mean, you finished the game, and from what I saw in one of the previews, it almost looked like there was a Sandlot element as to what you can do with certain abilities. Like, there were ways you can kill enemies, kill a big daddy with different gadgets. And I was talking to Fumo the other day, where he told me he had, what was it you say? You had this booby trap where...
I'll tell you in a second. I want to hear what you're asking about Immortal, because I think I know what you're going to ask.
No, I mean, Smacker mentions that you're pretty much given a path. Well, he's saying it's linear. While, yes, you're kind of guided to where you got to go, but there is a lot you can do on the side besides, you know, I mean, yeah, you got one path. I mean, for God's sakes, you know, you're underwater, so you got to follow, you know, many places you can go, but...
Can't fly away now.
Exactly, but there are plenty of different ways you can do certain things. It's not the same thing. It's not get the rockets and open this door or break down, you know, this cement wall with a huge axe.
Right.
There are different ways. Like I was saying, I got stuck because I didn't have, you know, a certain atom I needed in order to get through a door. So, I mean, there are different ways. I mean, so Immortal, in your experience, were there different experiments that you tried?
Well, it's like... What were you going to say? You just thought to say something.
No. I was just asking, I mean, was there a time during the game where you, like, for example, there was a big daddy, okay? You killed him. Then big daddy, I have a new power-up. Let me attempt to change my strategy around with these new gadgets that I have. I mean, was there an instance that you did that?
Yeah, like, you can set up traps and stuff. I hacked some security cameras and, mm-hmm. like, turret or something. And then, like, I'd use the trap bolts with the crossbow and, like, string a couple across the hallway. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I'd... I find a big daddy, and like I shoot at him, so he starts attacking me, and then I go over the trap bolts, and I just duck under them and go through them. So then he like runs through the trap bolts, and then all of a sudden he like starts getting shot at by turrets and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's like so many ways you can kill different people, like there's so many ways with like all the different plasmids and the different guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there is a lot of replayability.
Yeah. I was going to say one with the trap bolts, I did the same thing after JVB told me about it. He said, you were saying, what, you heard it online or something, right?
Yes. Yeah, I heard someone talking about that.
So I was like, that's a really good idea. So I went and did the same thing. I set up, like, I'd go to a stairway and I'd run past the big daddy. And then as I was going up the stairway, I'd shoot like 5 or 6 trap bolts. And then I'd pull out the grenade launcher and drop some proximity mines about in the same area. So once he hits the first trap bolt, he's like, oh, and then he starts running towards me and stuff. And, of course, he runs into trap bolt after trap bolt, and then proximity mine, and then trap bolt, and pretty soon he's dead before he even gets to me.
So, nice.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. I think it's unanimous then, Casey Smacker.
Yeah. I really don't get what you... I want to go back to this real quick. I really don't get what he means when he says it's very straightforward, do this, do that, good job, you beat the game. Because I don't feel that way at all. The way I feel it is, you're at point A, get to point B, get there. Oh, and there's a huge, beautiful environment in between. You know?
There in whatever way you want.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and there are side missions, right? There are different side missions you can do, right? I mean, I'm like I said, I finished the first level, so I'm still...
Well, you know, I wouldn't say
I'm still the nub of the group, but I mean, are there any side quests or
not so much a side mission or side mm-hmm. quest, but in certain levels, like you have an opportunity to just advance to the next point, but on some levels there's a certain wing, an entire wing of the building you're in that you can go explore or not if you don't want to. So you have the opportunity to get new weapons, new items, new powers. So I guess you could consider that a side mission if you want.
Okay, cool.
Blood Warrior says, "Wow, this game is amazing! I just got it, and I'm even surprised I'm here typing this. I was stuck playing it for over 8 hours straight.
Wow!
This game This game is Game of the Year nominee, ran all over it. The plasmids are great. It's a new way to battle enemies. Shock them in the water to kill them, or take beads to attack enemies. Upgrade your weapons are hard to come by. You find the machine, upgrade your weapon, and the machine is closed. You can find physical tonics to make you swing the wrench faster and move faster. I don't want to try to type my life story, but I have to. What I have to say is, if you don't have the game, pick it up now.
Oh, now Casey Smacker disagrees.
And thank you, Blood Warrior. Now, he did mention something that I wanted to talk about eventually.
Yep.
Game of the Year. Ooh, do you feel, obviously this game is definitely in contention with, you know, more AAA titles coming up in the future, at least this year anyway, with Halo 3, Mass Effect. Do you feel this is the game of the year?
I think this year it's going to be more of a fight for Game of the Year nominee, because Halo 3 is most likely going to get Game of the Year. And then, like, Mass Effect and Call of Duty 4 and Bioshock are all going to have the fight for, like, the runner-up.
All right. But in your opinion, I mean, what makes the Game of the Year? I mean, is it Halo 3 because of all the history and the hype that has followed the franchise? Or do you put a title like Bioshock that has come out of nowhere and delivered on a great story and mixed with great gameplay?
If Halo 3 had no multiplayer, I think it'd be a good, like, fight for Game of the Year, but or the other way around, like, if Bioshock had multiplayer, I think it'd be a fight, but I don't know, I think Halo 3 is going to get Game of the Year.
I think everyone loves to see an underdog win, and I think we can all agree that this situation, Bioshock is the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it should really go to who really deserves it. And without having played the final version of Halo 3, Mass Effect, or Grand Theft Auto 4 yet, it's kind of too early to call it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to Mass Effect and, of course, Halo 3. But if you go with something unique and something that's refreshing to the first-person genre, I mean, you look at Call of Duty 4, granted, it is up to date, but it's still Call of Duty. Halo is still Halo. Mass Effect, it is bringing something different.
It's another
BioWare
game.
Yeah, it's another BioWare game, so you kind of know what to expect. They do have a new feature with, you know, the response system. But Bioshock, I mean, it came out of nowhere because people were like, wow, this game looks like it might be all graphics, but let's see how it plays. And now that it's here, everyone knows it plays great. It's getting 10s all over the place. Out of 79 reviews on GameRankings.com, it is average a 96% rating.
Which is amazing.
Exactly.
I gotta say,
I have to call it my early Game of the Year.
I gotta do the same. Sorry to interrupt. I was gonna say the same thing. I mean,
no problem.
To where I really think this does something so fresh and does it so well that despite it not having as many gizmos and gadgets basically as the other games do, like as far as features is what I'm talking about, it still does what it does so well, and it's such an amazing, unique, and memorable game, and it really does get you back playing it again too. I mean, I gotta say the same thing, is that I really would call this Game of the Year even without having played Halo 3. I mean, having played, of course, the beta and having read a bazillion things about it and looking forward to it definitely a lot. You know, but I've actually, you know, I've told people before, I was looking forward to Bioshock even more than I was looking forward to Halo 3.
Yeah,
I remember you were
saying that for a while. Yeah, and let's face it, I mean, what will you remember more? The Halo story? The Halo 3 story? Or the Bioshock story.
You also got to keep in mind, which one will you be playing later next year?
Oh, definitely.
Bioshock,
I mean, we
story,
all know Halo 3 is going to have superior longevity.
Yeah.
But that's multiplayer.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you got to count co-op, which is based off the single-player game.
Still,
but when you look back, let's say 5 years down the line, and you see Bioshock sitting in your, you know, your game collection, you're going to go, wow, that was a great story. Let me let me go through BioShock again and reacquaint myself with the story.
I'm more likely to be like, oh, wow, that was a great game. Oh, hey, look who just signed into Halo 3.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. It's just, like, you're absolutely right, though. BioShock is a great game, and it definitely does deserve whatever praise it gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not every day that we get, especially in the first-person genre, that we get something so different. It's the same concept, you know, still a first-person shooter, still has a gun, rockets, but it just adds new element, and it's great to finally see something like that. You know, Shadowrun was bringing something like that.
Yeah.
But the storyline wasn't there, so that kind of, you know, that's for a unique audience.
What storyline?
Yeah, exactly. That you know, that has its own following, right. But BioShock appeals to everybody.
Yeah, really does.
All right, so except for
Casey Smacker. Yeah, Casey Smacker. He's throwing off the curve here.
Going down.
All right. Somebody who I just noticed recently in the forum, Spoof Maniac. He says, I think BioShock is a serious contender of Game of the Year. First off, the story is amazing. It engrosses you in a very deep, very dark story. And not much of the story is just given to you. You have to search and play to find the main story. And little side stories. Okay, sorry about that. Graphics and frame rate are good. The gameplay is really fun. The guns and plasmids were well chosen for this game. It was always fun to set fire to the Big Daddy and then load him up with a clip of a machine gun or shotgun ammo. I don't want this to be too much longer, so I'll just add one more comment about the game. This is the only game that has creeped. Okay.
You put creoed.
He put a misspelling. It creoed me. It creeped me out and made my heart jump. That's awesome. Also, free roaming enemies is really cool. You can go up against any enemy at any time. Thanks for reading, guys. Awesome podcast. And friendly community. Thank you very much, Spoof Maniac.
Hey, now, you know,
oh, sorry,
he says that, yeah, he says that this is the only game that's really creeped him out or made his heart jump. It reminded me of what you said earlier, JVB, of how games like Doom 3 have cheap thrills in the dark where you turn around and, blah, there's an enemy. Well, BioShock, I felt, it was artful and suspenseful in the way it kind of creeped me out because, you know, there's a splicer crawling along the ceilings and you don't know where it is. And, you're like, you're on your toes trying to find this guy and you're kind of creepy, you know?
Especially in the very beginning when you finally dock and when you're in that pod and you dock and you see this guy in front of you getting chopped up by a splicer.
Oh, yeah.
And then she climbs somewhere, and you're like, wow, you know, where the heck did she go? Now, I was speaking with Vicious696 when he was one of the first ones to get BioShock when Toys R Us released it early.
Lucky.
And he kept telling me, he goes, you know, he has the Triton headsets, you know, which has 5.1 surround sound. And he kept on telling me, dude, I was so scared because I would take my time and I would creep around the corners and I hear all kind of chattering going on in the shadows. He goes, it really scared the crap out of me. Now, I have to ask you guys, we haven't talked about them yet, the Big Daddies. Your first experience when confronting a Big Daddy. I mean, you know, everybody has their own stories about it. I'm interested in hearing what you guys have to say.
Well, I went through a crap load of health kits. Tell you that.
Because
just dealing with those guys, I mean, they rush you and you're trying to sidestep them and it's pretty hard. And yeah, it's,
you bump into a pillar and
right. And
well,
early
I died my first time.
Early on, you tend to think that's all they do is rush you and try to drill you, but really later on you start to run into some that have like basically like carbine style rifles to where they're fairly accurate and they can get you pretty long range to where the bullets fly pretty fast. So, you know, you got to deal with them too. And generally the ones that have the drills and try to rush you, they do so in close quarters. They're not going to run all the way across a huge map. That wouldn't just, I mean, they can because they're roaming the area looking for bodies with the little sisters and stuff, but generally you end up in small areas with those, so it makes for an interesting experience heavily dealing with those. And that was my first one, was trying to sidestep that guy and just shotgun him over and over, and you know, I'd die. And the thing is, like, when they hit you, it's really wild too, because like you go flying and then you fall back and you're looking at the ceiling and you're trying to orient yourself again and you're just like, ugh, and stuff.
It gets all blurry and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it feels like you just really got knocked down by one of these guys, and yeah,
it's intimidating.
Yeah.
So I mean, I remember when I first met up with Big Daddy, I had and I'm sorry, I can't remember all the names of the plasmids, but it's the ball where it makes your, it makes any enemy angry,
enraged.
Okay. I have this, and I'm like, all right, I had it all planned out. I'm like, I'm gonna throw one at a Big Daddy. He's gonna beat the crap out of, you know, one of the splicers, and I'm going to sneak behind him and take care of him. So I throw it at him. There's nobody around. He turns around and looks at me, and he's like, roar, and I'm like, boom, and my character flies. I'm like, no, and I'm screaming like a little girl. I had no weapons. And he just got rid of me real quick. And then when I finally had a splicer near me, he was taking care of her. And then I start shooting him, but he destroyed the splicer so quick, he came after me. So I had to run down the stairs. He followed me into a big room, which actually helped me out. And it took me a while, but I finally killed him. And, I mean, it was funny to hear the little sister, you know, like, cry and whimper next to him and say, what's
Mr.
wrong with
Bubbles.
You? Yeah, so, I mean,
monster.
Yeah, I mean, it's that type of interaction between enemies, between the little sister and a Big Daddy, that bring the, you know, the world of Rapture pretty much to life, because everybody's doing, like you said previously, everybody's doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And once you, you know, disrupt their flow of business, you know, it gets pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. So how about you guys with the Big Daddies?
Big Daddy.
Mine was a lot like yours, Fimo. Just trying to, like, dodge him and, like, shooting at him, like, 1,000 times with the shotgun. Probably died, like, 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
But it's cool though, when you get back from the Vita chamber, their health is where you left it at, so it's not like they have full health. So
exactly. And I heard that some people complain about that.
Yeah, some people don't like that.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, at least I'll ask you the question. Yeah, exactly. At least you're way back, you gotta come back to it. But I'll ask you the question. If the Big Daddy had all his energy once you respawn, I mean, how unfair would that be to the player?
Yeah.
So. Like, I just leave that Big Daddy alone, you know?
Because they actually explain that that's a regenerating chamber.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in actuality, I mean, to make it somewhat realistic, you know, yes, the Big Daddy's going to remain hurt. But enemies do rush to heal themselves. I haven't seen a Big Daddy do it. I don't know if he does.
I don't think they do.
Okay. No. But I know other enemies have done it on me, so I'm like, where are they going? Run! Run, chicken! Don't come back!
When you catch them on fire, they, like, they run and try to find water.
Yeah.
and they just, like, zap them.
Yeah, that's another technique, exactly. Too. Like, set them on fire, and then they're going to try to dive in the water, and then set the water on electricity, and zzz.
Yeah, that's so awesome, man. It's pretty smart. All right, so.
My first Big Daddy, I walked around him and kept going. That's my experience. Then my second Big Daddy that I encountered, I saw the little sister, and tried to get her into my car with a lollipop.
Aww. Half candy, little girl.
Put on my best peta smile, didn't work. So, Big Daddy kind of eased me up my
comic books. But how intimidating is it when you first see them going by you in that scene where you fall off the balcony?
It's pretty cool. And you're
everything's vibrating. Yeah, I mean, it's
yeah, like everything's shaking from your foot. When you hear their roar, like, even though you don't see them, you, like, you hear the sound they make.
Their moans and stuff. It's kind of
like, I'm gonna throw something in here. Pretty unusual to the show, but at the moment, somebody sent me something from Twitter, and he just wanted me to mention something. His name is Infected PB503, and he did have a complaint that he wanted me to discuss in the show, and I feel that it is a valid point. And he said there is a flaw where you, if you die while, if you continue shooting while you die, you will respawn and you'll keep shooting. I mean, I never went through this, but this is something that he said was a pretty annoying flaw that he noticed. Has this happened to you guys?
Nope.
No. Okay, and
stop trying to be like a gangster from the 20s and squeezing the trigger as you fall down. That's my recommendation.
Okay, cool. So it's not one of those bugs that would affect the gameplay. It's something, I don't know if it's isolated towards him, but I mean obviously there must be, you know, more people that have gone through this. But I guess it's not as big as, you know, and that's you know, a good thing that it's not as common. Yeah, if right. You guys haven't experienced it. Right. All yeah. Right, cool.
I haven't really, you know, like held the trigger after I'm clearly falling down and can't see my gun anymore, and I'm, you know, I'm pretty much let go of the trigger by then because I'm dead. But
it's like, gee, if I don't have hands, maybe I shouldn't shoot anything.
Yeah, anyway. You know, I was going to say about the Big Daddies. This crazy thing happened to me the night before last. I was playing, and I was down in this one particular level, down the stair set, and it was kind of like a cul-de-sac. That this platform came around and then went down the stair area, and then it was just in this lower area that was kind of enclosed. So I'm down there, I'm checking out stuff, I'm opening, you know, drawers and desks and boxes and things, looking for loot, and all of a sudden. And then this Big Daddy comes running out of nowhere, and I'm like, I'm looking up, and I was just looking at him like, what the hell? And he and his portals are all red, and he's like, and he's running up above me, right, because I'm down in the lower area, and then he runs, and then he hangs left, runs down the stairs, and then runs down the stairs, and I'm like, oh crap, he's gonna fight me. He ran like out of nowhere and just started running after me.
At that part, for me, two Big Daddies came.
Oh, two of them?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, all of a sudden, like, two Big Daddies were like, oh, they weren't green or red, and they're like just charging right at me, and like they killed me, like, right
wow.
away.
Wow, holy crap.
Whoa, what happened?
Maybe you're digging through this crib, man. That's not cool. you don't mess with the Big Daddy stuff.
Taking my loot, yo. And then all of a sudden everybody comes rushing out. But wow, I mean, that must have been crazy. You're just like chilling, finding boxes, and la la la.
Yeah,
and
it just comes like off from the distance, like, and I'm like, oh crap. And then he's just gonna like put it down, like, he must be down here. Yep, there he is, he's down here.
I can picture Fumo Jive like in real life going.
Yeah, really.
Just like, mommy, let me stop and save now.
One of my favorite Big Daddy experiences was I was walking through one of the levels, and I was walking down some stairs, and there was a Big Daddy going, you know, towards the stairs, and you know, I'm like, you know, hey, it's cool, see you later, man, later, and I'm walking further, and there's a splicer around the next corner. She's like, oh, I'm gonna kill you. I'm like, okay, I got two choices here: headshot, move on, or the one I picked. Throwing in rage on her, run back towards the Big Daddy. She sees the Big Daddy, she's like, oh, I'm gonna kill you too. She hits him. He goes red, and he doesn't even turn around. His arm, the one that's a drill, just like snaps from his side and goes poof right across her face, and she goes flying across the room. She's like,
oh, wow.
Oh, your mind's after her. And I'm like, thanks, man. And I walk up to her body and take her stuff.
I actually have one similar to that. I had this one where I hacked a turret, and there's a Big Daddy in the room, and I'm going, okay, now let's see. I think I'm gonna actually ignore the Big Daddy right now because I don't really have enough health kits and ammo of the kind of ammo I want to use in this type of small area to deal with him. So I'm pretty much just gonna like look for loot right now. So wouldn't you know it, the Big Daddy's like walking around in that small room. and I'm just ignoring him. And in comes the splicer, like, I'll kill you, and all this stuff. And then she goes, once she comes in, the turrets fire at her, and one of them zings past her and hits the big daddy. He goes red and starts chasing after me. And I'm like, I didn't do it!
And all of a sudden you hear the Benny Hill music.
We're all running in circles, Passenger.
Guilty by
association. This is kind of funny.
Oh, man. Nice, nice. Well, Big Daddy can... people will be talking about Big Daddy for a long time.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so...
Brings a smack
who's next?
Down. Oh,
who's next?
Let me ask you guys something real quick. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a Big Daddy and challenged him to a fight and killed him only to realize, hey, wait, there's no little sister around here?
Yep. Oh,
yeah. I did that one.
I hate that.
And that's one of the keys. You have to wait till he summons a little sister.
Around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I had to do that one time when I actually had to fight one. They were like, you need Adam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guy just kept bugging me. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to fight a Big Daddy. And he bangs on the wall, and she comes out. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm so scared.
You should be.
yeah. That's a great character. Even though he's not a final boss or anything, but the Big Daddy character, I think, will be one of the more, you know,
memorable.
I guess, yeah, memorable. I can't say legendary, but, I mean, for a character that's not really the main focus of the game, I mean, it's so scary and intimidating to fight one of these guys. And like, we're here talking about him for about 10 minutes, you know, the different ways he destroys other, you know, splicers, or he comes after you out of nowhere. I mean, it's just an interesting character. I mean, it could have been a final boss if they wanted to make him, you know, I mean, it's not just one Big Daddy, but that's what they call him.
Right.
He's got final boss potential, but definitely. You didn't make the cut in the auditions.
Maybe he could be like, the Donkey Kong of our generation, you know, where... Donkey Kong was the side, you know, the big bad monkey in the Donkey Kong and Mario. As a matter of fact, Mario was born because of Donkey Kong. So who knows? Maybe Big Daddy will get his own little franchise.
Maybe.
Big Daddy number 25. Could be a side scroller.
I'm sorry, your little sister is in another castle.
It's a me, Big Daddy.
Nice. Well, we got one more that we could do mm-hmm. that will really wrap things up pretty well, it looks like.
Yep. Oh, hell yeah.
That is... Yeah. Somebody wrote an epic novel.
It's a big one, definitely, but it really does a good job of kind of...
Yes, it does.
Finishing up the whole thing. Let's see, who wants to do this one?
Ooh, I volunteer.
Do it.
Okay. I need some water. Come on, guys.
Okay.
Quickly. Okay. All right.
Kill it. Benny Hill music again.
Oh,
I was trying
man.
To think of some music that you would get water by, and that's the closest thing that came to my head.
Well, you did not quench my thirst, sir. You failed.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Like, you know, I could have thought of the Beach Boys, Surfing USA or something, you know?
Benny Hill.
Water involved in that one. Yeah, Benny.
Water, Benny Hill. It's instant connection.
You slapped the little boy head guy. Okay.
Okay, Killazilla says, Bioshock is so great because it is a game that is more than a game. Bioshock is a piece of interactive fiction. The sound, music, atmosphere, and lighting all put you into the experience. I had many experiences while playing this game that I've never had playing a video game or even watching a movie. Now, granted, I played my entire first playthrough late at night and in total darkness. While this makes the game 10 times scarier, it is the only way to play Bioshock truly. Bioshock is a very scary game. I jumped in my seat more times during the first playthrough of Bioshock than I have during all the horror movies I have seen in my life combined. there was one part early in the game where I was in a steam room, and every 10 seconds the steam would spray and blind me. At first, I was looking around for an enemy to sneak up on me, but after two times, none came, so I figured it was just a part of the environment. The room fills with the steam a third time while I'm searching through a deck. The steam clears, I turn around, and I had to bite my tongue to keep myself from screaming and waking up everyone in the house. There was a splicer standing just behind me, waiting until I turned around. There's so many encounters like that in Bioshock. The level of immersion is so deep that you are truly terrified at times to keep going. While you would think you'd be able to guess when you're about to be ambushed or jumped, Ken and the rest of the devs did an amazing job of making each encounter different. You're almost always surprised, even when you know it is coming. The most disturbing thing, though, is when the splicers just scream for 10 seconds. There's something about the sound that chills the player to the bone. Mm-hmm. Another thing BioShock has done that no other game in history has done to me is play on the emotions of the player. The relationship of the little sister and the big daddy is actually touching. I hated killing the big daddies because of how the little sisters cried. They truly loved Mr. Bubbles. I thought the choice of saving or killing the little sister would be easy. Just kill her, give her more power, and then play again to get the saving achievement. However, after I killed the first one, something changed. I cannot bring myself to harvest any more of them. Even though I knew I would not get the good ending or the achievement, I still chose to save the rest of them. There was one last thing that BioShock did that had me in awe. BioShock made me hate, really and truly hate, one of the characters in the game. When I realized what was happening, I had to pause and go, wow, bravo, Ken, bravo. In closing, BioShock is the best 360 game out there and has done one thing I never thought possible. BioShock took the top spot on my list for best story and experience in a game, a title held for years by Deus Ex, one of the greatest games ever made.
Well done, Killazilla. That was really well done.
Bravo, Killazilla. Bravo.
Bravo. Bravo. And bravo to Mince for reading that so well.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm dying of thirst here.
Well, that, yeah, like you said.
For now.
Every time I'm gonna have, every time I have to get a drink of water from now on, I'm gonna think of that song.
Yeah, he pretty much wrapped it up. Mm-hmm. You know that whole article pretty much summarized everything we were saying. You know, the experience that a game can. If it can leave a long-lasting experience, whether it's a multiplayer game or single-player game, whether it's a 10-hour game or 20, you know, that lasting experience is what truly makes a game. I mean, for example, I'm going to use The Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay for the Xbox. Mm-hmm. That game to this day, you know, I'm a fan of the movie, but it was a very short game, and mm-hmm. but the experience that I went through with that game and it wasn't as scary as this one, but it left a lasting impression and it was a good one.
Right.
And those are what truly makes a game. I mean, let's face it. You know, you look at Mario. Okay, look at that franchise. I mean, you want to talk about a single player game? You know, KC Smacker. Mario's strictly. Single player, but it has an appeal that everyone loves about it. It's simplistic, it's fun, and it's a title that everyone plays. There's nobody that I don't know who hasn't played any type of Mario game. So, what Killazilla is saying here, that you know, this is his version of his experience. You know, when Fumojai finally finishes the title, he'll have his own experience, and I'm sure it'll mimic pretty much what everything Killazilla said. And those are the type of games that, you know, like he said, once in a while a title comes around and truly blends everything together.
Yeah.
And that is BioShock. And we haven't even talked about the main character.
Yeah, because you learn more about that a little bit as mm-hmm. things go on, but I don't want to say any more for
exactly.
fear of potentially spoiling anything, because this is, like I said, this is one of those games, don't let anyone spoil it.
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, definitely. And I've heard that
really
from everybody.
Horrible thing for someone to do.
We haven't talked about the main character. We haven't talked about exactly what Rapture is. Who created Rapture? You know, what atoms are. I mean, we left a lot of things out.
Yeah,
but we also discussed a whole lot of other elements to this game. That's just how deep it is for a single-player game. Right. It is so deep that you kind of forget the basics of what makes this title, and that's the story, the characters. I mean, and we forgot to mention all that, but still, I mean, you know.
We've been here a lot longer if we were to talk about that.
Besides, it's one of those games that you don't really want to know. It's kind of like, I don't want to know anything about the story in Halo 3. I don't even want to watch any single-player videos or hear any about this level or that level that people have demoed through the entire thing and hear an entire... I don't want to hear about that because I'd rather experience it myself, because you can't take away the first time you experience that. Multiplayer, it's a lot different, obviously, because you actually enjoy it the more you get into it and the more you memorize the maps and the more you learn the different techniques and stuff. But with single player, you can't take away the first time you see, you know, five dropships come down right around the corner and then you know, snipers and everything, and you're trapped between something. I don't know, I'm just making something up. But you can't recreate that original experience. So, you know, the same thing with BioShock. It's kind of good that we didn't really get into a whole lot of story elements at all, even basic stuff, because it's one of those things, it's such a great cinematic experience that you really should just download the demo and play through it and just really enjoy it. I mean, it's great.
So with that being said, where do you see the BioShock franchise? What direction do you see it going? Do you feel that they're going to build up the BioShock franchise and make either a side quest or expansion, downloadable content? I don't know any of that, but do you feel there'll be a BioShock 2, a BioShock 3, or they will leave it just the way it is? I mean, I didn't finish it. I have no idea how it ends.
I think because Immortal 3 is the only one who's finished it, can you tell us, without giving hinting at the ending, how you think it might expand? I mean, don't be like, oh, there can't be a BioShock 2 because Rapture blows up. You know, don't say that. You know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. In other words, do you feel that it would be justified to have BioShock 2?
Yeah, I think they'd be great if they had a BioShock 2. I think they could do it. And, like, I think the thing they focus more on BioShock 2 would be multiplayer, because by popular demand... what everyone wants, but yeah, they should definitely do a BioShock 2.
But I mean, in my opinion, I mean, that would kind of water down the franchise if they did any type of multiplayer, because you take away what was so great about it, and that was the single player experience. I mean, I can't see myself running around with, you know, freaking what do you call that? Enrage, whatever, the plasmid.
Yeah,
I can't see myself running around, you know, throwing at people when they're already out to kill me anyway. I mean, I don't see how it would work.
Somehow or something.
Maybe like not BioShock in its current form. You know how Splinter Cell had a completely different multiplayer from some other mode?
Yeah, that had nothing to do with the story.
It's feasible. It could happen.
It's possible.
I mean, granted, I mean, it's, you know, with the Unreal 3 engine, I mean, you know, we have Gears of War with its multiplayer. So, yes, there is a possibility where it can run smooth and you'll get the same graphics. But as far as the game altogether, you know, I don't see where, like you said, they might have to do some kind of spin-off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't think that would benefit the franchise if they added multiplayer. I haven't finished the game, so I don't know exactly where it ends, if there's a conclusion, or if there's something that would expand the franchise.
Well, you can think of it in terms that there was a System Shock 2, so it's not completely against the grain to think that there could be, no matter what happens in Rapture, that there could be a BioShock 2. I mean, these guys are obviously pretty inventive to think up BioShock in the first place. I'm sure they could find plot holes to move over to BioShock 2 if they wanted to do that, and they thought it was still going to be able to be done without making it seem like a lame rehash of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sure, you know, the the concept that intellectual property is in good hands over there after having played BioShock. Mm-hmm. You know, get lots of faith in those guys, definitely. So whatever they do, right. I'm sure it will be good or not at all.
So quick question. Immortal 3, I guess you're more entitled to answer this question. Instant classic, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, instant classic.
Yeah, because that's the answer I get every time, like, I approach somebody who's finished it.
People will be looking back on this like they've looked back on Half-Life and Half-Life 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how big it's probably going to be.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Awesome.
Saying a lot. Yep. Well, we're about out of time, so let's wrap it up here. Send in your comments, etc., to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
And you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. And that is 206-888-HALO. And leave a Halo-related message. We will play these back on the Customs and Calling show, which will make its triumphant return pretty soon.
Yeah.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of buzz about Halo 3 and other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And at the moment, that other stuff is Halo Wars, which we're starting to find out a little more about. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that one, too.
Yeah, and thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, or subscribing to the show and viewing us in iTunes. We really couldn't do it without you.
For sure.
And that's the truth. That's the truth. There's a lot of people behind the scenes who are doing incredible things. And I just want to mention that there is a lot of stuff coming up for the Podtacular community. We have the co-op tournament that will be hopefully... the wheels will start spinning on that pretty soon. And, of course, Halo 3 is coming out in 3 weeks. So, I mean, there's going to be a flood of new people and new events going on. So I advise everybody to start, you know, going back to the forums and check out what everybody's up to.
Totally.
For sure. Hey, CryptoFlix is looking for some help for Pod TV, which is our video companion to the audio podcast there. He's looking for some people who can record and edit and host podcasts on the video side. If you guys would like to help out, email us at podtacular@gmail.com. And also shout out to the Podtacular PC clan on a different note.
Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm going to have to interrupt like I always do. speaking of video... We will attempt to eventually do video tips, so we're hoping that we can get some volunteers to help us with that. But more importantly, I want to give my condolences to Impulsive Ninja, a.k.a. Jason, whose father passed away during the weekend. Very sad story, and, young teenager, just starting to live his life, and, you know, unfortunately, he lost his father. And I just want to say you and your family are in my prayers, and, you know, hang in there, and, you know, need any advice, just contact me. I'm always around.
Right on. Well, check out the other shows in the GamerCast Network, Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, and the GamerCast Network Video Game Show. And until next time, guys.
And don't forget Achievement Junkies and Sarcastic Gamer, who recently joined.
Yeah, and I didn't put those on the show notes yet.
Sarcastic Gamer.
Uh-huh. Download the Gamer Pick on Xbox Live.
Exactly. Show your support for everybody else. I mean, this opens up a new door for everybody in the community. I also want to say that next 2 weeks is going to be the final two shows that is going to focus anything on Halo 2. Next week will be a roundtable discussion. The love, the hate, the game regarding Halo 2. And then pretty much the whole franchise. And the week after that, on September 18th, will be a farewell, old friend, goodbye to Halo 2. So that one, we're going to depend on a lot of submissions of your best and fondest moments of Halo 2. And we'll go into how Halo 2 created the Podtacular community.
Yeah.
So it should be some fun stuff.
Well, until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
I'm Immortal 3.
And I am...
Awesome. And thank you for joining us, man. And Minst, if you want to give, you know, take this opportunity to plug your respective sites, you can do so right now.
One more time, that is haloportable.com and hushedcasket.com. Check it
out. Nice. Awesome.
Sweet. We'll keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on eating slippery watermelons that pass through two portals at once. While listening to the Benny Hill theme song.
And thinking of water.
And discovering where Godzilla rests.
There's only one thing left to say.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular. Show I can't pronounce. We're gonna pass through two different portals at once, like a slimy watermelon.
Eat your heart out, Einstein.
You can see it though, can't you?
Exactly. I mean, when you pick up a slimy watermelon, what is the first thing that happens? It slips off your hands.
It's like it's going into another portal or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And if you're not careful, it will go up another portal. What was it, MC Tidy Bowl?
MC Tidy Bowl, MC Gleaming White.
Cutting the cheese on the what?
Oh yeah,
the porcelain. The cheese on the
porcelain. That's awesome. Nice. MC Slimy Watermelon.
Slimy Melon.
117.
Sliming your double portals since 2005.
I slime it through your portal. I'm slamming through your portal.
Talking about that.
I'm slamming through your portal coming out the other side.
Oh, I'm a watermelon entering into you from sideways, and it's gonna hurt you. I don't know where the hell that came from. That wasn't me. That was my sidekick.
And I got no seeds.
You treat me like I'm your mini-me. I don't know. You dress me for Halloween.
Did it.
Yeah, right.
I'm in your portals cleaning your tidy bowls.
Oh, but I'm slimy. I'm really grimy. I don't know. Your mommy calls me Jaime, huh?
If you don't believe me, try me.
In the part where I freaking destroyed the complex, it was rad.
The watermelon went flying both directions at once.
Oh,
it's right through the fingers.
And then I found where Godzilla stays when he's not above the water, and then Mothra came and killed him. Oh my god.
Then I went through a portal.
The Forerunners created Godzilla to help cleanse the universe.
From the tiny bowl infestation.
Die, cavity creeps, die!
Fire to the watermelon!
Oh, yes. We got her! Dude, I I kid you not, today, and this is how the elevator industry is. My partner, he runs up to me, goes, "Dude, it's time to witch Hazel." So I'm like, "All right." He goes behind a dumpster with a cup. Well, it wasn't a cup. It was a jug full of wipes. Witch Hazel wipes. And you know where I'm getting to.
What's a witch hazel wipe? Yeah.
He goes, I got a hemorrhoidal itch. So he comes back and goes, "Oh man, the dude started walking in and I had to hurry up." And he's walking out like with his pants still open. And I'm like, "You just didn't wipe your butt behind a dumpster." He goes, "Yeah. What do you think witch hazel's for? To stop the itching." I'm like, "Oh, Jesus." I'm like, "Please do not touch me." "Oh, no, I washed my hands." I'm like, "With what?" "You're behind a dumpster."
I washed my hands in the trash. In that little puddle of water.
Yeah, in the dirty water.
I think it was pee
in
it. GamerCastNetwork.com